make the reservation here.
I don't remember ever seeing this before.
Open enrollment? I guess that was my understanding.
Do we know what this resolution's for?
The open enrollment?
Yeah.
I think it's just they, every year they have to say that they're going to accept open enrollment students.
I don't remember doing that in the past, but it's not saying it couldn't happen.
See, I think it's just continuing.
Yeah, that's what you said.
I'd like to call to order the regular meeting for the McDonough Local Board of Education for Wednesday, March 16th, 2016 at 7 p.m. Roll call.
Mr. Hannon?
Here.
Mr. O'Connell?
Here.
Mrs. Harvey?
Here.
Mrs. Claes?
Here.
Mr. Sagan?
Here.
Five board members present.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We can move to item number four, approve the agenda for the regular meeting of March 16th, 2016.
So moved.
Motion by Mrs. Claes.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Harvey. Yeah, right here in the discussion. Any discussion? I know I had one item just to make note that we're going to move the executive session from where it stands at the meeting at number six to the end of the meeting, so it'll be at 14. So the executive session will be at the end of the meeting and there'll be no action taken in the executive, after the executive session. Any other discussion? Roll call.
Mrs. Claes?
Yes.
Mrs. Harvey?
Yes.
Mr. Saganich?
Yes.
Mr. Hannon?
Yes.
Mr. O'Connell?
Yes.
Five yes votes.
Move on to item five, student and staff recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a number of things to report to you this month. Mariah Leskovic represented Roosevelt Elementary School in the Vindicator Spelling Bee this past Saturday. In fact, her picture was in the Vindicator. Did a nice job. Next week, on March 22nd at 1 p.m., the State Fire Marshal's Office is coming to McDonald to honor the Roosevelt Elementary School students and staff for their awareness during our gas issues the past month. The Village Fire Department will occupy the State Marshal's Office during the ceremony at Roosevelt, where students and staff will receive a proclamation. Friday, March 18th, the Spring Sing, the Pirates and Princesses of Castaway Island, presented by Roosevelt first and second graders, will be held at 7 p.m. in Gammonsfelder Auditorium. Mrs. Rogers' kindergarten class had her class create a St. Patrick's Day story to send to a kindergarten class in Ocean Isle Beach, North Carolina. That class is writing a story for St. Patrick's Day to send to Mrs. Rogers' class as well. The sixth grade students held elections for officers for next year when they're in the seventh grade. Lucy Wolford will serve as president, Leah Scala as vice president, Brooklyn Boken as secretary. Third grade students in Mrs. Worrell's room were awarded a grant of $421 for an incubator and supplies to hatch ducks in her classroom. Donorschoose.org is the website where teachers can propose classroom ideas and reach out to people for funding. So real happy with Mrs. Worrell. A couple other things at Roosevelt. Under PEGS, the book fair was held, is being held this week, March 15th, 16th, and 17th, with proceeds going towards new technology at the elementary school. We also want to thank PEGS for raising money to pay for COSI in the classroom, which was here a couple of weeks ago. And also thank Ms. Ross and the NHS students for manning the tables. Kindergarten Roundup March 15th from 9 to 11, and March 31st. We are accepting both resident and open enrollment students who have been accepted. On April 1st, head cook Debbie Dombrowski, Mr. Vecchione, myself, and Mrs. Harvey are going to visit Mineral Ridge Elementary School to observe their point-of-sale machine in action. It's a system we're considering bringing in. I think it would be very efficient for our cafeteria, and parents, I think, would really love. They're able to put money down on accounts and keep track of what their kids are eating. Hopefully it's a system we're going to find that we want to bring here to McDonald. At the high school, I want to thank Mrs. Brown and also Mr. Carquito for holding two College Credit Plus informational nights. The first one was at the Career Center a couple weeks ago, and it happened to be the night that our boys were playing in the district semifinals. And then they hosted another one here this past Sunday evening. And I think Mr. Carquito is going to mention a little bit about College Credit Plus in a few minutes. On March 3rd, seniors received academic letters for the 15-16 school year were recognized. We certainly congratulate those seniors. I also want to congratulate our high school and junior high school prep bowl teams. They competed this past month at Lordstown. Neither team placed, but they fought hard, and we thank Mr. Roop, the prep bowl advisor. As most of you should be aware, our boys and girls basketball programs had pretty successful seasons. The girls advanced to the district finals for the first time in 4 years. The boys won their 8th ITCL championship in the 9 years of the league's existence and won the district championship as well. Important things coming up. The month of April, kind of seems like the whole month of April, we'll be doing air tests, grades 7 to 12. Other dates of note, statewide tornado drill on March 23rd at 9:50. On March 24th, it's the end of the third 9 weeks, and we'll have an early release. Spring break from March 25th through the 28th, and report cards will be distributed on April 1st. The junior-senior New York City trip is April 1st through the 3rd, and the school play will be April 4th at 7 p.m., April 8th at 7 p.m., and April 9th at 6 p.m. So a lot going on, and we thank our principals and staffs for all the work that they're doing with our kids.
Thank you, Mr. Rosner. Move on to item number 8, recognition of visitors, audience participation. Mr. Carquito.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me here tonight. Well, I guess I was asked. I'm just here to just kind of give you an overview of what to expect to see on our walkthrough on this Saturday at 9 a.m., correct?
Yes.
Mr. O'Connell went through with Tommy Amicone, and Mr. Amicone showed him some areas of concern that dealing with water problems at the high school. I just want to kind of go down through some areas here. There's, I think if you want to get a little more detailed, you could take a look at Mr. O'Connell's report, and I can kind of summarize what he had gave you guys in the report. He provided pictures in there as well. The auditorium, we do get water in there during most of the time during heavy rains, and the water comes from what we believe, and we're pretty confident about, we know where it's coming from, through a tunnel that runs through this building. It runs almost the whole perimeter of this addition. Our sub pumps do not keep up with it at times. And now we've added another sub pump in there, and since we've done that, kind of a makeshift solution for now, we haven't had any water issues since then. And we've had some pretty strong downpours this last week or two. Before after Mr. O'Connell gave us this report, Tommy Amacone got up into the tunnel and did some more searching through there to try to figure out, you know, where this water is an issue. And he did find something that we were unaware of. There is what we believe is one of the roof drains on this roof that goes down, comes down in the tunnel and then bends at kind of one of the trap areas and goes off into the wall where I believe it goes into the sewer system in the streets. Or the storm, not sewer system, but the drain, the storm drains. When he went down there, one of those traps, there's about a 2-inch by maybe 5 or 6 inch piece that was blown off. And it's a big cast, it's a 4-inch pipe. It's that cast iron, that hard cast iron. We believe that could be the main source of the water. If you think about all the water collecting on this roof, that's thousands of gallons of water on a hard downpour. It's pouring down there and it's shooting out that hole and probably going throughout that tunnel and therefore causing some major problems. So we did contact the company the company that did work down there previously, and they're going to come in and take a look at that and see if we can get that at least taken care of, and that could be a remedy to our problems. I don't know how long that's been blown out as far as broken, but I would imagine it's probably been like that for some time. Tom, did they end up coming in today?
Yeah, he was here.
He was here?
Yeah, he looked, and that's that outside superintendent's office. And he put a camera down, and that's where that is, right there. So he's going to send in, like, quoting that, and he just wanted to know.
It is one of the drains from the roof?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he said then he'll let us know, or we need to let him know about the camera, you know, what all we want him to camera, if we want him to do anything else.
So that hopefully might remedy a lot of that. I don't know if that's going to, you know, take care of everything there, but you know that's one of the reasons why we plan on bringing in this company, the camera, some other things to make sure. We do have also an issue with the a wall opposite in that area down on the steps where water is seeping out through that wall during heavy rains, and we believe there could be another cracked pipe inside the wall that might need to be tore out and replaced somehow. And again, I'm not an expert at that. I don't know if there's ways of doing that without tearing the wall up, but we need to definitely have that camera to take a look at, see if there's a cracked pipe inside the wall. Back by the brown doors, that's where the pool entrance would be, that back door where you would go down into the pool area. We've had some problems with water coming in that back door. Not often, I think, we believe a lot of times it's because maybe that drain there might have debris during heavy rain, that the drain in the stair area could be covered up with leaves and some other things that could have caused that in the past. But I believe Mr. O'Connell recommends that we also have a sub pump in that area that pumps that water out of that drain to other spots, I guess, out to the street again. We don't have any kind of emergency backup on the sub pump should the power go out. So I believe he recommended that on pretty much all the areas where we have sub pumps. We kind of rely on those to be pumped out with the electric we have now, but if the electric goes and they're not working. The pool area, you'll see in the pictures there that in the old girls locker room down there, the old swim club locker room, water, it does seep up through the floors there during rainy months or when the ground's saturated. We do get water seeping up through there, as well as in the pool itself. There are certain areas where the water will come up through the floor of the pool because we do have it drained, and it runs down into the deep end of the pool where the water pools up there. The drain does not work, that bottom drain does not work in the pool. Therefore, we have to pump that out with a small sub pump from time to time to keep that water out of there. Boiler room. If you remember, we did have some work done there. It did not remedy the situation. My biggest concern there is that there is still water. We just had an electrical box, big electrical box, replaced in there. Water is, again, getting into that electrical box. And it's, and you can already see on this new electrical box, rust is starting to form on that. And that's a major issue. So that's definitely going to be something to be addressed, and you'll again see that. There was a picture on there on another area where water was draining on an old electrical. I believe it's not an electrical box not being used.
Is that this one?
Yeah, but that was actually Mr. Amacone took care of that. He believes he might have been able to fix that. So we hope that that's taken care of. The blue door down on 6th Street, that's the weight room entrance. If all you're familiar with that, down by the garage door. During heavy rains, we do get water that that drain cannot handle. I believe it's a 2-inch drain on that, in that grate there. It just doesn't handle the amount of water running behind the school down the parking lot. One of the solutions possibly would be to add a larger, bigger drain basin there so that water does not seep into the garage and in through that blue door down the steps and into the weight room. We've had to deal with that during heavy rains from time to time as well. So that's something that needs to be looked at so that we don't continue to get water in there and ends up being a big cleanup issue when that does happen. Also, something that it's not on this report, in the old gym lobby, if you're familiar with the old gym lobby, it would be the
where all the trophies are.
Yeah, where all the old trophies are. Outside, underneath that overhang there, where the arches are, a large piece of the ceiling has fallen and came down. We believe it could have been due to a plugged drain on the roof that the water may have overflowed, or could be from moisture over an amount of time. But a big part of that roof, not roof, but the ceiling part, is basically drywall. That needs to be looked at as far as why that happened, and then fixed to so we have that hole filled in again. And then there will be some other things too that aren't related to the water that you'll see on the walkthrough that probably addressed as well. That's all I have for the facilities. Any questions or concerns that...
I have one question.
Yeah.
If we lose power, what happens? Do we have any backup emergency systems? Have we thought of building a generator system?
No, I don't believe so, not in the school. We have your, for the fire exits and everything, we have the backup batteries in the lighting for exits, but we don't have a backup system for sub pumps and things like that.
But if the raining in the park, then we get flooded every time. Maybe
yep.
You should look. I don't know the feasibility of the generator system, but it seems to me that might be a cost-saving venture.
Yeah, I know that. I believe a lot of, like, even in people's homes, they'll have batteries for those sub pumps, backup batteries. Mm-hmm. And that's something we're going to have to definitely look into. Okay. And have those installed at the different sub pumps throughout the school.
You talked about some kind of an alarm system potentially too, that where if your sub pump goes, it gives off some kind of alarm to let the custodians know or someone that's there, hey, the pump's down. So if even on it, you know, just the pump itself breaks, electricity's running, pump's not functioning, you know, that way you know before you get the heavy rain. And so we can have that addressed too. I just want to take a minute and obviously make sure everybody knows this was not me that did this report in any way, shape, or form. I wouldn't know what to do with this if I had to. But, you know, I spoke to my father. I thanked him for what he did. The key word that he said, this is almost like when you have a home inspection. This is not the only solutions to these problems. It was just identify them, give some ideas on what could be done. And, you know, obviously stating that every person that we bring in that looks for a solution might see something a little differently. But I know I appreciated it just so that we had kind of a general sense that, you know, the ceiling wasn't all caving in everywhere except for that one spot now. But, you know, that the building was, it's structurally sound, there's areas that need addressed.
Mr. O'Connell came down to my office after walking through with Tommy Amico, and he had said that he was very impressed with the building as a whole for the age it's in. He believes it's in great shape. He believes the issues that we have are all fixable issues that can be addressed, and that, you know, our custodial staff does a great job of keeping the areas that are never seen by people actually, you know, clean, straightened up, and it's not a mess. You know, he was very impressed with how things look in the kind of the dark areas of the building where no one really goes, except for the custodians and myself and time. So I thank him for that, and I know a lot of that stuff in his report. He really gave us a quick turnaround in that report. I know. I appreciate that as well. And I didn't know if you wanted me to talk. I didn't know if there was any questions about, you mentioned Culture Plus. Would this be the time to talk about that?
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind.
I didn't know. If you have specific questions, or would you just like me an overview of what that's all about? Or
please.
Well, College Credit Plus, it basically what it's done is it's taken, if you remember, the old SB 140 or post-secondary educational options, dual enrollment. It's taken all of those things and just put it all under one umbrella, the College Credit Plus. College Credit Plus is an opportunity for kids in grades 7 through 12 to earn college credit while attending high school, while still in high school. They have to meet requirements set forth by the individual colleges, and those requirements are different between, you know, YSU or Kent State, Eastern Gateway. Those are our three main ones that we deal with because of the proximity. But any student could attend any college in the state of Ohio, any state college in the state of Ohio, while attending school here. You know, if there was a way they could work it out, they'd actually attend Ohio State, or they could choose to take online classes through Ohio State if that was an option. So those are all options. There, one option would be to attend a class here by a teacher that's certified to be able to teach College Credit Plus, and that certification comes through the universities, and that is if you have your master's in your content area. You'll most likely be able to teach College Credit Plus through high school, or you have to be working towards 18 hours of coursework prescribed by the university, and we're mainly going through YSU for that. So if you're working towards those 18 hours, you can be teaching a College Credit Plus class, more or less kind of a dual enrollment. That's one way students can do that, by just staying here and taking the class taught by the high school teacher. The other way would be online courses, signing up for online courses and taking those courses online and doing those. And the other option would be to attend actual classes at the college, on college campus. So those are the three main ways of doing that. Currently, for us, this year we offer College Credit Plus in calculus, statistics, and advanced chemistry or chemistry. Next year we will only be able to offer chemistry here at high school. We are working in partnership with Mineral Ridge to possibly offer calculus, College Credit Plus calculus through Mineral Ridge, where our students can go there and maybe start their school day, take their calculus class, come back here by second period, and then finish their day out here. We'll still have calculus here at our school. They just won't be able to earn college credit for it. We'll still have a college or calculus class here. They just won't be able to offer or get the credit for it. Statistics, we're going to continue to offer that, but they won't be able to get college credit for that. They'll have to take that online through Eastern Gateway. I believe they offer that online. So that's where we are in terms of our building. But as far as the number of classes that kids have to choose from, it's numerous. It's basically whatever the colleges are offering. And if they meet the requirements to get into that class, then they can take it. It is free. The school district has to pay for tuition and books for that. That's required by the state. We are working with a book program where we're buying those books, and then we're going to try to get money back on those at the end of the semester, just like any college student would do. There is written in the law that if a student does fail the class or drops the class after the reimbursement date set by the colleges, that they are required to reimburse the school district for the cost of what we paid for the class and books. That's kind of it in a nutshell. There's a lot more information if you go to Mrs. Brown's webpage. She has a lot of information on her webpage about College Credit Plus that will hopefully make it even more clear to you. Any questions?
Just a quick question related to grading options for the students. Mm-hmm. Are they taking a letter grade? My son participated in the SB 140, and I remember there were choices, but that was a long time ago.
The grading scale is different at YSU, but the grade they earn for that college credit, for that college course, goes on their transcript here, and it applies to valedictorianship, it applies to honors diploma, has all that. So if you are a student that and you're taking a course, let's say you end up deciding to go down to YSU and take calculus. If you get a B in calculus, that's what goes on your GPA here. It just coincides like that. So we will take the grade. Now, their grading scale is different, and we will just go by their letter grade. I believe their grading scale goes from 90, 80, 70, 60. Ours is 93 and 84 and 87 down the line. But we will. They have to they're basically a college student when it comes to that class. The dates, our spring breaks don't coincide. So if we're out of school and they're in school and they have class, they got to go down to class, take that. If we have a snow day, YSU's open and they're taking a class down to YSU, they got to get down to YSU and take the class. So it really isn't any different than an adult taking a college class. The same requirements.
That grade also stays on their college GPA as well for them,
yes,
right?
It
counts
they
as both.
Begin their college GPA.
So you have a seventh grader taking a course.
You have a seventh grader taking a course, they're starting their college GPA, as well as their high school GPA, because they're taking high school level courses. So you can actually start your seventh grade, your high school GPA in seventh grade. Now, there is an age limit for students. I believe it's, I could be wrong, I have to look on the website. I think it's like 14 or 15. If you're 14, I believe if you're 14 years old and you decide to take a class on campus, you have to be accompanied by a parent. The parent has to, you know, take you down there, sit outside the classroom, wait for you to be done, pick you up, take you home. So they do require you to have a parent with you on campus if you're 14, I believe.
So just your opinion as an educator, as far as ranking the desirabilities, it sounds like there are three different options. One is having the class given here, having the class given on campus, and having the class given via the internet. Just sort of your thoughts, pros and cons, desirability of those three options.
Well, the pros are obviously cost savings. I mean, you could actually, you know, in reality, you could actually graduate high school with a bachelor's degree and pay $0.
Well, I'm saying among the
three. Oh, of those three?
Of those three,
I think face-to-face, I think face-to-face is always the best experience. I would prefer us to have as many teachers teaching College Credit Plus classes here in our building. When this first came out, it was called dual enrollment. And the way YSU sold it to me, I remember specifically having a meeting in my office with YSU, and their big selling point was, we want to keep your best students on your campus. We don't want your top students down there at the college. We want your top students in the school, enriching your school, and making it better. And I thought, this is great. We're not going to have our 4.0 students leaving and going on YSU all day and never seeing them. Well, that lasted for about 2 years. And then state legislator kind of got involved in it. they got their hands into it, changed it all around, and changed this College Credit Plus program. So now it's kind of a combination of the SB 140, the dual enrollment, and online courses. Another thing about the online courses that are taken on campus, you know, you get, say, we're offering chemistry here next year. You could, that chemistry class is spread out over a year. You take it to YSU, it's a semester long. Same thing with online courses. We offer statistics. Now, we're not going to be able to get college credit next year, but statistics, if a kid decides he wants to get College Credit Plus in statistics, it's a semester-long class online. So it is much more rigorous, faster pace. It's the college level. I think pretty much everybody went to college here. They know it's much more rigorous in 18 weeks as opposed to 36 weeks. So.
But for us to encourage our teachers to become qualified to be able to teach the College Plus courses would encourage our students to stay here to sure. be able to sure. take those courses.
And there are grants available. I know one of our teachers, one of our English teachers, taking advantage of the grant. I believe he's working on his master's, and he's getting the grant, I believe, for courses down at YSU. So I don't know how much he's paying. I don't think it's much, but I know he applied for the grant through College Credit Plus and received that grant. So there's money out there. I believe there's, I don't know of anybody, any teacher that actually applied for the grant that and decided to take it that didn't get it, but there's not too many teachers here that have decided to do that yet. I think once it gets kind of established, it's going, I think we'll see more teachers kind of jumping on board and trying to do that.
It's hard work to develop
a whole new curriculum. Yeah,
and I think that, you know, it would be good for us to offer our teachers incentives
sure.
to do that too.
Sure.
But that's for another day.
That's for another day. Any other questions?
I have one question.
Yeah.
A 7th or 8th grader goes to Middle Ridge. Do we provide transportation?
The 7th or 8th grader would not be able to go to Middle Ridge because they wouldn't be able to get it. You got to be a senior to take calculus.
You have to have your own transportation, though. We don't provide.
Right. Okay. These will be seniors.
I see.
These are seniors who have to provide, drive over themselves, and then come back to school. And then I'll work with those seniors that decide that this will work for them. I'll work with them with their scheduling, and we'll be a little flexible with their scheduling as we can be as far as making it a little less rigid as far as trying to get back and forth and hurrying or anything like that. So. Anything else? Okay, thanks.
Thank you.